All right, welcome back. Who's talking? Frank and Hobbo and Darren in the house with our producer-engineer Kyle, and we're expecting to hear from head tennis coach Brian Boland momentarily, the defending national champions, and the other thing, already number one ranked in the country preseason as they get started for another season, and what a spectacular job Frank's friend Brian has done at UVA.
They won the national championship in 2013. 2015 and 2016. He's won five ITA indoor championships, his team. And he has a stellar lineup coming back this year. Listen to these guys. Colin Altamirano, JC Aragon, Luca Corintelli, Tayson Kwiatkowski, Heinrich Wilsholm. I think I got that right. It's a tough one. Aswin Lizen, how about that? Alex Richard, Carl Soderlund, and, oh, this is a tough one. I can't do the last guy.
If the last one is MR, tough.
MR.
I think they were all tough.
They were all tough. Anyhow, what a lineup back. And I think we have Coach Boland on the line. You there, Brian?
I am here, Frank. How are you?
I'm doing great. Happy New Year, finally. I'm sorry I missed the banquet last week. Sorry about that.
No worries.
Yeah, I tell you, my mom is having some health stuff. And we're saying a prayer for her tonight on the show. She's got surgery this Thursday, and we're just hoping for the best there. Anyhow, you're coming off a fantastic season, winning the national championship and holding off the rest of the ACC and the entire NCAA world. And you've got some excellent assistants, Dustin Taylor and Carlos Banatsky?
Correct.
All right. Yes. So, you know, I was doing some deep research. You've cranked out 42 All-Americans, three individual singles NCAA champions, three doubles NCAA champions, and let's see here. Bear with me a second. This is your 16th season at UVA.
Yeah, it's amazing. With all that talent, you would have thought he would won even more titles.
Wow. I'm not going to forget that one.
Well, I didn't, Brian, I didn't say that.
Nah, just
Frank,
kidding.
First, Frank, I want to say I'm sorry to hear about your mom and, you know, prayers are with you and your family that she does well, you know. So,
thank you.
Anyway, I wanted to say that first, but thanks for having me. And I apologize for not having more championships, but we're certainly in a good position to try to get another one this year.
Listen, we know that. And
no, I think you're on John.
I will beat Hobbo during the next break.
Yeah, and he's serious. He will. But I think you're on a John Wooden run. I'm expecting like 10 and 12 years is what we're anticipating here.
We're just going to try to get our fourth in 5 years. And, you know, again, we're really looking forward to opening our season on Friday. So should be interesting, but the guys are ready to go.
You know, I see that you guys are getting ready to play your first match on February the 3rd. Is this early for the season, or is this pretty much normal?
No, we're actually probably the last team to lace them up in terms of regular season matches. Of 300 Division I teams, I would say there are teams that have already played seven or eight matches, or quite a number of teams. I would certainly think we're the only team in the top 25 to yet play a match. So,
wow.
And we did the same thing the last few years, and that's more of a strategic situation on my part, how I feel I want to deal with the season. These guys need some autonomy to go play professional events as amateurs in January and over the training time and in the holidays, so I try to give them as much time as possible. With a different group of guys, I would do it differently, but again, you just adapt and adjust to what you have, and these are young, ambitious guys that really want to get after it and need to have as much freedom as you can provide them. So our season is shorter, but I believe it's in our best interest in what we're trying to accomplish.
Coach, we were kidding, the three championships in 4 years, but I'm just curious, do you still have the same passion as the season is about to begin?
I have as much or more passion than I've ever had. Thanks for that question comes up a lot. And, you know, I as a competitor and someone who wants to give each and every group of guys the best effort and the best opportunity to go on a journey and finish at the top, you know, that's important to me. I want to make sure that, you know, in this position at UVA, I want to give every group of players that comes through this program each and every year an opportunity to win ACC and national championships. And we've been able to do that now really since 2003, 2004. And something that I'm most proud of is our consistency and the longevity of our consistency. I think it's one thing to get to the top. It's even harder to stay there, and I'm really proud of the fact that we've been able to do that. And I think, you know, now we have more momentum than ever. And as you know, it's really hard to win that first one. And, you know, there's other programs at UVA that have taken some time to do that and still haven't. And, but when you get through that first one, I think it really helps loosen you up to continue that momentum. And we've done that, and, you know, I think we're in a really good place this year. This may be my most talented team ever. With that being said, there's a lot of work ahead of us, and the guys don't take anything for granted. You know, they're really grateful for each day we have together, and they're excited about being able to play another spring season together, and they're off to a great start.
Well, one thing's for certain, they will have to keep their focus, because following the first match away at Vanderbilt on February the 3rd, they turn right around on February 5th and play at Louisville. Then it's Florida at home on the 11th, Illinois on the 14th at home. Then you're hosting the ITAs in Charlottesville at the Boar's Head on February 17th, and all rounds are going to be there. That has to be a very exciting, you know, month or first half month of the season.
Yeah, it's a really tough stretch. And this weekend when we head over to Vanderbilt, who, you know, is playing against top 10 teams very competitively, and the same goes for Kentucky the next evening at Kentucky, and then follow that up with another match against Louisville in Louisville. So back-to-back-to-back in our first weekend. And as you said, we come home and we have great matches against Florida, Illinois, and then four matches hopefully in a row with the National Indoors with the top 16 teams in the country who played this last weekend in their regionals around the country to qualify to come to Charlottesville the 17th to the 20th. So it's a tough stretch, nine matches in, you know, between February 3rd and 20th. So that's a lot of action for the guys. But we've been prepping for this for a long time. We had an incredible fall. Players played a number of professional and top collegiate tournaments throughout the fall and all the way through the break. And then they did some training over the holidays. And then, of course, they used January. A number of them were out in California playing professional events and having an incredible amount of success. So, and they've really come together as a team, and they put their egos aside and they work together to make each other better every single day. And, you know, we could be happier with the group of guys, the culture that we have. They're kind of understanding of embracing the process every single day. I'm enjoying every single second of it. I've never had more fun or been more passionate about what we do and where we do it. I really believe in our system. Our players develop, they grow, they become better leaders, better tennis players. And they've just done an overall great job representing UVA on and off the court. So as coaches, we feel blessed every single day. And I know with the players, too. You know, there's a lot of collaboration among the players and the staff. And these guys are so grateful to compete at UVA and wear the orange and blue and the pride that they have to put the uniform on. They bleed this university. They love UVA, and they love representing everything it stands for. And I'm really just proud to be part of it, to be honest. So we couldn't wait to get started on Friday. It's going to be a fun season.
Well,
for
Coach,
us.
We're obviously proud of you and the job that you've done.
You.
And we joke UVA's become a tennis school thanks to you and your players.
Well, you know, if you could remind that to Coach Bennett and Coach O'Connor, you know, I try to remind them of that as often as I can. That really, I do appreciate them, you know, playing these games at home so I can bring recruits in and show them around a little bit. But you know, that's really all it's good for. But
believe
no,
me, if Tony,
you know what? Go ahead.
I was going to say, if Tony loses to Virginia Tech on Wednesday, we're clearly going to remind him. That's for sure.
Oh, please, please do, please do. You know, but in all honesty, and I believe I'm echoing what a number of people say. I'm really proud to be part of the UVA coaching staff overall. I mean, you're talking about some of the best collection of coaches anywhere in the country. And not only, and I know this, I've been here 16 years, I'm actually one of the veterans on the staff now, but not only are these coaches incredible at what they do in terms of teaching their sport, but just spending time in the department around other coaches and building the relationships, these are some of the finest human beings that I've ever been around in terms of the quality of character and the way that they lead and how they coach. And it starts with Tony Bennett at the top. And, of course, I think Bronco Mendenhall has been a great addition. And Brian O'Connor, that speaks for itself. But there's so many others. Steve Swanson, Kevin Sauer, and the list goes on. So I think Virginia and Wahoo faithful should be really proud of the coaches that lead these teams and represent. And and work and mentor the student athletes each and every day. I'm honestly so proud just to be part of such a great staff, and I really mean that genuinely.
Well, Brian, I think they're grateful to have you, and I know for the vast majority of the VAF donors and UVA fans, they've been stunned, impressed, amazed, awed, whatever, concerning what you've done with the UVA tennis program. Recently, I read where Somdev Devarman, one of your all-time top performers, I believe a two-time NCAA champion, retired. Yep. Is that true?
Yeah, he retired on January 1st officially. He had backed away from the game due to a number of injuries prior to that, and he had thoughts of making comebacks, but on January 1st he made it official. I've talked to him on a pretty regular basis throughout the whole process, but in particular over the last several weeks, and he's doing some great things, which doesn't surprise me. He's got an organization that he's running over in India that impacts young children and the opportunities they have to have after-school activities, and he's got tens of thousands of young people paying $1 a month to get involved in extracurricular activities and stay active and be productive. And so the things he's doing in the world are just tremendous. He still has a house in Charlottesville. When he went on the pro tour, he used this as his base for training, and he bought a home in Charlottesville. So we still get to see him, a fair amount, but he's a special human being, and he had an incredible career, and certainly will go down as one of the greatest athletes to ever step foot on this university.
Well, two quick points that I'd like to make. Number one, I believe that the ACC championships this year, are they not down in Durham maybe?
They switched that due to the situation in North Carolina. So they moved them to Rome, Georgia. And
yes.
And the NCAA championship Final 16 would be in Athens, Georgia. So hopefully we'll spend a lot of time in Georgia. I know the guys are actually excited about the change in venue. Sometimes that always makes it interesting. So we're going to be heading to Rome. And we have a huge following in Atlanta, as you know.
Yes.
Virginia in general has a lot of faithful down in Atlanta that support our program. So it's not a bad place to go. We're going to get a tremendous amount of support.
No doubt. Well, listen, Brian, best of luck to the season. We hope to have you back on maybe just before the NCAAs. And as always, you've got an outstanding team led by Colin Altamirano and J.C. Aragon and Luca and Tayson Kwiatkowski. I mean, you got some studs. Well, listen, best of luck to you, and thank you for joining us tonight.
Thank you, Frank. Appreciate the support you give UV Athletics, and we'll look forward to seeing you. We'll cross paths, I'm sure, many times.
I know we'll see you at
a lot of different sporting events. So thanks for all you guys do.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brian, and best of luck.
All right, we're going to pivot, as Hobbo loves me to say, to UVA lacrosse. And believe it or not, the Wahoos have a new head coach this year, Lars Tiffany. He's a graduate and former head coach where he did quite well. He was 113-69 at Brown. And last year, I believe, didn't he make the national finals, I believe?
Final four, yeah. Memorial Day weekend, which is we want Virginia to be playing on Memorial Day weekend again in the years to come.
Welcome to Who's Talking, Lars.
Hey, gentlemen. Great to be on. These are tough shoes to follow, though. I mean, first of all, I replaced Dom Starger, a legend himself. Now I'm coming in after Coach Boland with all his national championships and success he's had.
Calling us gentlemen is very kind. There's no question about that.
Well, at least one of us is.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
you know what's great, Lars, is I think this is an opportunity. I think to take a program that is. Has a very strong tradition, you know, five NCAA championships and a slew of ACC tournament championships. And you've got some talent coming back, but you've got a lot of new faces and numbers out there this year. And talk to us a little bit about what your goals are this year and what you're excited about this group of Cavalier lacrosse players.
We definitely are fortunate as a men's lacrosse staff as we step into this position here with Kip Turner, Sean Kerwin, myself. You compare it to Bronco. You know, Bronco's got a new opportunity here at UVA, but he doesn't have quite the depth of tradition of success that I'm fortunate enough to step into, as you mentioned, with the five national championships. So we got a lot of work to do, but there is there's an aura about this program that resonates still with the recruits, even though there hasn't been success in the last couple of years. Their eyes are wide open, and they love coming to visit, the recruits do, and we're We already feel like we're making some headway there. And so our goals right now are, you know, the simplistic ones are getting better every day. And we actually saw that this past weekend in our scrimmage up at College Park, Maryland, when we took on the Terrapins. And we did have a good step forward that day. And that was really encouraging. So continue just to implement the up-tempo pace, how much faster we can play. And I think we don't want too much success in scrimmages, because then you start feeling too good about yourself. Yeah. You really haven't won a game. But it's if we can just maintain that positivity from it, there's a little bit more buy-in. And I kind of really felt that as we came back home Saturday and in today's practice, a little more attentive. Like, okay, well, maybe the system could work. And for us, it's just playing as fast as you can. Play with intensity defensively. Double the ball as much as you can. Don't, you know, make them play, make a great play to score a goal. Let's not be passive, pack it in, and hope they don't score. You know, let's go out and challenge them. And so I don't want to limit us in terms of saying how many, what our expectations are in terms of number of wins or championships. I just want to keep getting better. But we definitely saw some real good signs there Saturday up in College Park.
Well, there was an excellent write-up by a writer for Inside Lacrosse, and I read all that, and it seemed like there was some significant positives. Number one, you basically beat a very good team that's expected to be certainly top 10 this year in Maryland. Number two, it seemed like one of the storylines that came out of the scrimmages, maybe their talks are underway to add Maryland as a regular opponent in the season in the years ahead. Is that true?
That is true. John Tillman and I are talking. It's very different from obviously from football, where they do it 7 years in advance. We just you know, we kind of try to figure out if we have the right weekends and the same weekends open. You know, they're close enough. We could do midweek, so it doesn't have to, you know, be perfect on a weekend. But it would be great to get it back on. When Maryland left the ACC and went Big Ten, I think there was an unwritten decision to not keep playing Maryland if you were an ACC school, you know, to in a sense stress the level of disappointment that happened by the other ACC coaches. But that's a few years away. You know, we're down the road from that. So, you know, bringing back that traditional rival would be great for the schedule.
We are speaking with head UVA men's lacrosse coach Lars Tiffany. Lars, I know you got 31 returning letter winners back. You've got six starters back, and based upon these recent scrimmages, Will Raley is going to be your goalie?
It looks like it, though. There's nothing cement in stone there. He's done a nice job, but we got a Griffin Thompson, a freshman, is pushing him, and we're big fans of the depth chart. We got a depth chart that sits in my office. I'm looking at it right now, and it's reviewed every Thursday. We do it on Thursdays. It gets us ready for the playing chart. So depth chart moves us into playing chart. So we look at the depth chart. You know, and every coach has a vote, and you can move up and down that depth chart. So Will's at the number one right now, but he's getting pushed by Thompson and even a guy named Will Hudson who just transferred in. So there's there's competition, and we like the competition. We want these guys to know that you can earn playing time in practice. You know, how you compete in practice, you can change your fate. This is not the 1927 Yankees where you just pencil in the starting lineup, you know, April 15th, and away you go. We want these guys to know that they can move up and down that based on their play.
All right, Coach, every coach has a vote, but does your vote count more than one?
I do have the marker. I am the one drawing the new.
Oh, okay, that's what I thought.
Vote, but,
you're in charge.
You know, for the most part, it's a democracy, but, you know, I say for the most part.
Coach?
That's a good question. So the four of us vote, and obviously, we talk all week, so we're probably influencing each other anyways as we go. But it's always interesting. There's always a couple spots. It's like, you know, I had him eighth. You have him fourth? Wow. You know, and so it causes us to talk. But what really does is allows our men to come in and see exactly where they stand. They come on in. Transparency's here. They know where they stand on the depth chart. They don't like it, then it creates conversation. How do you move up the depth chart? And then we start talking about what they need to improve upon.
Coach, I noticed that three of your players are preseason honorable mention All-Americans. Michael Howard, who's from Richmond, Virginia. Tanner Scales, who's had some injuries over the years. And Zed Williams, he's a senior. In addition, you've got some nice captains here. Ryan Lukovic, Will McNamara, and, of course, Tanner Scales, who we mentioned earlier. Any other players that we should keep an eye on in these early games as leaders for the team?
Sure. You know, what we're looking at Ryan Conrad, sophomore midfielder, do-it-all midi. You know, he's a throwback back to the days where there wasn't specialization, where you were on the face-off wing, you played offense, you played defense, you played man down. Ryan Conrad is an exceptional athlete, and he can run up and down that field almost as fits the description, tireless. He just continues to go. He's going to be somebody you're going to see with the ball, around the ball, doing a lot for us. And then mention a French, a freshman, and a Michael Krause, the first year out of Connecticut. He has adapted to the speed and the physicality of Division I lacrosse quicker than most first years do. He is ready to play right now. He could be a starter for us. So that's a young guy. You know, sometimes people like to connect with young players who are trying to crack the lineup and. And right, you know, I would buy that stock cheap, and that one could be paying off big dividends in a couple of years. So.
Good bloodline. Steve Krause was a star at Virginia back in the day. So, you know, I think his son is going to end up being quite the player, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. And his uncle, too, was a heck of a player, too. Andy Krause, who played against when I was at Brown. He was at Virginia, and he was a heck of a midfielder himself. So it was a very good bloodline there, and we're really fortunate to have him here.
Lars, we want to thank you for joining us tonight, and we will bring you back during the season, maybe after a great victory. And we want to thank you for joining Who's Talking tonight, and good luck as your season gets close.
Hey, thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Great night. Stay warm.
Good luck, Coach.
Thank you, Lars.
We'll be back for a short segment after these messages. You're listening to Who's Talking.